Welcome to The Art of Growth. I'm Joel Hubbard.
I'm Suzanne York.
And I'm Jim Zartman. And I've started a conversation here that's already amplified some emotions and some thoughts. And
I cannot wait to see where this goes.
Where are we going?
This is
going
to be fun.
So what is the thing that comes to mind when I say purpose or having a purpose or finding your purpose? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
For me, it's that what I do with my life fills a greater need.
Okay.
Fills a greater external need?
Yes.
Yeah.
External need. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, got
Thank
it.
Thank you for that clarification.
All right.
For me, purpose feels very inspiring and exciting, and it's like opportunity. There's all kinds of yummy, good stuff around thinking about purpose. But it's directionality, but it's also very open to discovering.
Expansive.
Yeah, it's expansive.
Yeah.
It's expansive. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. So I think this started for me, this thought, several years ago when I heard someone say something that stuck with me ever since, which is, it's a terrible thing to ask, you know, kids that are going into college, what do you want to do? A much better question is, what do you want to do next? And that always stuck with me. I was like, there's something in that, and I don't exactly know what. But I'm always like trying to peer around whenever there's a cultural value. Where should this be challenged? Is this really a thing? And I was on a coaching call a couple weeks ago with just an amazing person, like very successful in their field, great family, great personal life. But just talked about like, but I really wonder if I'm ever really going to find like my purpose, like my internal purpose. And I went into one of these rants, and it was the first time it really formulated as far as like what I was saying about it. And then I heard another author talking about it, and I was like, okay, this is something that I think it's really time to talk about and confront in this culture, this myth of purpose. I call it the purpose trap because I do think it's kind of like a trap. This messaging that goes out that everyone has this like one special purpose and it's within you, and you just have to find that purpose that's within you. And once you do, then you have to dedicate your life to it. It can't be like a side thing. It really has to become central to your life. And if it's going to become central to your life, you also have to monetize it and make your living from it. So it can't be something that's an interest or passion. That thing needs to become central. Oh, and it needs to leave the world a better place. And so it's like, oh my goodness, there's so much anxiety that I see gets produced. So when I see an idea like this, I'm like, what is the fruit it's actually producing? Is it helping everyone find their purpose, or is it creating this anxiety around like, I need to find my purpose? And so people who have like done wonderful things with their lives and they're going, well, what's my purpose? And God forbid you don't know what your purpose is. And then there's all this like shame and guilt and anxiety around, I don't know my purpose. And I just don't think this is a thing. I don't think it's true. Like some people, they're very adaptable. Just this opportunity came up. They applied themselves. They worked at it. And it's great. And this person, they really thought they had it. They were like, this is my thing. This was me. And then you climb to the top of a ladder to realize it's against the wrong wall. And then it's like this purpose, like identity crisis. Oh my God. Like, I'm like, I don't think that each person has this one purpose that if they can figure that out and then they can do it, then everything is going to be great. Like, I don't think it's going to reduce anxiety. I think you're still going to have just as much of an identity crisis as ever. And I'm just at a point where I'm kind of like, frustrated, annoyed, whatever you want to call it, at this purpose trap, this cultural myth that you just have to find your purpose, apply yourself to it, because there's all this like stacked anxiety and pressure that comes up with it. And that's my my introduction.
You are blowing my mind with this because you have pretty much told the story of my adult life, which is this searching, this longing, this anxiety around, am I doing what I'm meant to be doing? So I've taken the messaging hook, line, and sinker, and I am ready for new messaging.
Well, what do you mean by meant to do with life?
That there's a singular reason for my being on this planet, and I'm going to leave it a better place. And maybe this is, you know, applicable to others, and then it needs to be on a bigger scale. So it can't just be that I've made an impact to people who are in arm's reach. Like, that doesn't feel like enough for me.
Yeah.
And yes, of course, I want to raise my children to be the best human beings they can be and have a great relationship with my husband. The purpose to my life, though, feels like it's meant to be bigger. Yeah. But meant to also sounds very predestined, which I didn't necessarily mean for it to.
Right.
But like, there's a longing in me, I don't know, to have this greater impact.
Well, the longing for a great impact is a great thing, but the anxiety that like I'm missing it and I have to figure it out.
Yes.
And if I don't figure it out, I'm somehow less. And what's wrong with me that I haven't figured it out? Like I should be at an age. I should be figured it out by now.
Oh, yeah. I've had all those thoughts.
And I just feel like we're just like chaining people down and it's such a hard.
Yeah. Ah. Well, I think this is a fantastic conversation because I want to be shifted through this conversation.
Awesome.
I'm now seeing, you know, you've cracked the door open for me to see a bigger light because the first thing that hit home for me is my purpose doesn't have to be the same one for my entire life.
Totally.
So I love what you're saying about what am I going to do next?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think there's so many things come to mind.
I know Joel's like been, he's been holding on to this because this is something that's important to you as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so many things. Where do I step into this? There's like, so I've got, one is the fact that we have more freedom today than we ever have in making choices. There's more opportunities for us. Although there's also been more stress around that and more anxiety around it because even with the increased amount of opportunities is also for a lot of folks who are getting into college and then graduating from college, although there's opportunities for a lot of things, there's also greater resistance. It's greater challenges now for young folks to get into the roles that they would like to get into or even figuring out what that is. I remember having a conversation. I've had a number of conversations with millennials and younger who are asking those questions of, well, with all these opportunities, all these things, it's really difficult for me to tune in and actually creates anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's studies that have been done around generations prior who didn't have as many. And then those who live subsistence lives for millennia who have lived this way just barely making it. And they have not had those existential needs, those concerns. And for many of them, their lives are simpler. And because of that, they don't have these anxieties that are created by this new level. So that's one thing I think about.
Yeah.
And then the other is that purpose can feel narrow to some, I would imagine. Like, I have the one thing that I'm supposed to do. Instead of there are these ways of being that are true to who I am, that when I'm doing and living from these ways of being that are true to me and becoming more true, I'm waking more up to them, that by living from that place, it's not what I do specifically, but it's who I am. And from that energy, when I live from that, there's a lot of fruitfulness in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is more expansive, but it feels purposeful to me. So in that sense, I feel like I'm not ready yet to give up on the word purpose, although I have a lot of resistance myself to the sort of like, there's one purpose you're supposed to fulfill in your life. I don't think that that's true. But there is also a way of living that feels very purpose or very meaningful or very life-giving to me when I'm living from that deeper sense of this is who I am at my best and this is what I like, really, really like.
Yeah, and I feel like I have a specific purpose, and it's to be me, but I can be this purpose in any setting.
Yes, yes.
My purpose is not setting dependent. I would be this if I was an electrician, if I was a physician. I would be this thing that I am. And I think because we've overly tied identity to accomplishment and job, I'm sure there's like stay-at-home moms right now who's just like, well, what's my purpose? Because right now I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Omi, you're just like creating and nurturing and sustaining life and raising a human that can influence the world around them. The limitations of it is exactly what bothers me. I wonder if it's part of why people are like, I have to be an author or I have to be in the arts of some kind. Like, I mean, how many people who like are 18 are being like, you know what? my purpose is being a plumber, because it doesn't feel grandiose enough when, like, you can have a fantastic life.
But some people love it. Absolutely love it.
And like, you may absolutely love it. Yes. There's a guy literally around the corner in this office. He has been in the building longer than anyone else. He's been here over 40 years making pottery cups. Not like fancy, like he's an industrial commercial potter. He makes one cup after the another. They're all the same. He's been doing it for 40 years in this building.
Wow.
And he's like, this is just what I do.
Yeah.
And family and all these different things. And he thinks like, this is just, you know, this is my work is how he says it. But it's not like this is my purpose and this is my identity and this is my whatever. It's like your identity is composed of so many different things. Mm-hmm. I'm not having an existential identity crisis when I stopped doing the thing I was previously doing. It was time.
Yeah, the being versus doing thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's fascinating is that I pour so much of myself into anything that I do.
Mm.
And my husband will say this as well. I think out of care and love for me, he brings this up so that I'll be aware of this. And because I pour so much of myself into anything, he recognizes that I want a career. I want the work that I do to matter because I don't know how to do it halfway, or I don't know how to let that be what I do for a living and find my purpose outside of that. And it's likely a growth area for me because up until now, my purpose and my career were so, they were one and the same.
But your purpose is so much bigger than your career.
I know, but I didn't see it that way, especially not in my 20s.
Yeah, for sure. But like, this is part of the expansion. Like, yes. Your purpose now is also Lillian Tyler.
Well, and that's the being and doing. Who am I regardless of what I do? And that's a new thing, relatively new. I mean, 10 years is new for me.
Yeah.
In terms of this whole idea, in my 20s, it was not a differentiated conversation. It was what I did was who I was.
What also sounded like a second ago, you kind of tied purpose and meaning. Like, I wanted my work to be meaningful kind of thing.
So and do you not do that?
I don't do, no, I think those are separate categories.
Oh, let's talk.
I think everyone wants a meaningful life, but that doesn't mean that there's a singular purpose to discover. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's dissect this because I don't see the difference.
Oh.
Ooh, oh, interesting.
Stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are going to relate to that, Suzanne.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see where certain times I've lost my sense of purpose in my role, for sure. Like, I've been my role. When I'm in my role, that's who I am, and I've lost myself in that. But say more about meaning. I'd like to explore that a little bit more.
Yeah. I really see them as synonyms. Even as I think through this, and you're asking me what's the difference, I don't necessarily see a difference. My purpose is to have a meaning. My purpose is to make my life mean something so that my time here on Earth was worth it.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing a difference between purpose and meaning.
Like, so do you find purpose in what you do, or is purpose off somewhere that you're looking for that purpose? How does that work for you? Is it off in the future, or is it like I'm finding purpose and meaning in what I do now?
It's probably in the future, but I keep wanting to pull it into right now.
Mm-hmm.
So as I have navigated career changes or relationship changes, it was always in hopes of living in greater alignment with my purpose. And then I believe that purpose is to have a meaningful life. So I'm really interconnecting these two, and I'd love to better understand what do you both see as the differentiation between them?
Yeah, so for me, again, purpose, I understand the cultural value around purpose, that the parts of it that I've never accepted into myself. Like, there's this sort of singular thing you're supposed to do in your life. For me, purpose has always felt expansive and exciting and adventurous. And
I've loved it. Go a lot of different directions.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Like, don't narrow it down to one thing for me, please. but I've enjoyed the pursuit of it. That's also been exciting. The chase, the love of going after it and getting closer to something that I felt would give me more joy, more meaning, I guess, in life. But I think that meaning, for me, it has been in the pursuit. So that's in the past. I've changed that in the recent years. But in the past, it was in the chase. That's where the meaning's at. If I'm in pursuit of something that I want in life, that actual chasing that thing and finding it to be exciting, that was very meaningful to me. Very, very meaningful. And that it could do something positive for people around me. Oh, man, that was everything. That was exciting. I found meaning in all of that. But that has changed in the recent years, where it has been more meaning is in what am I doing now that I can find meaning in it and actually find joy in the moment as opposed to something that's off in the future. So rather than seeking something grandiose and some kind of big meaning out of it, like this moment, I'm sitting here with my son and we're having dinner together and we're talking. We're sitting on the floor, cross-legged, in his bedroom with a sheet, and he's having his food and I'm sitting across from him and I'm getting 10 minutes to have dinner with him because I got to shoot back downstairs to jump on another call. And I'm sitting there and realizing this moment is so rich, so beautiful, but I'm not trying to derive meaning out of it, just enjoying this present moment that I have with him. So that's shifted, where that wasn't true for me for most of my life. So I think in that sense, I'm finding meaning not as something that I'm seeking to come in from the outside, but rather something that I'm enjoying this present moment, and thus it is meaningful to me.
And you brought up something else that it sticks out to me. When I hear this cultural messaging about purpose, it feels very destinational in its language. Like I have to arrive at the destination of the discovering the purpose. And I'm very suspicious of any arrival philosophy as opposed to journey philosophy. Absolutely. In my mind, there is no such thing as arrival. There's only kind of the travel and the discovery along the way. Everyone wants to get there, but really it's here. Because even when you get there, you'll be here. So instead of being there, you might as well be here. And I think that's the whole thing is where I believe my purpose is fulfilled, is the conversation I'm having right now, this moment right now, is the most important moment in the world. I'm sitting in the room with Joel Hubbard and Suzanne York. And at this moment, you are the two most important people in the world. And when I hold those two things, it's this. That's it. And I actually, that's something I say to myself a lot, actually. Yeah. I say, it's this. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It pulls me out of this, like, this chase, this destination mentality. I'm very suspicious of destination mentalities at this point in my life.
Yeah.
But I'm very much engaged with the, oh, here, it's this.
Right.
All of the other stuff can feel less meaningful.
Well, it's like becoming a doctor. Like my purpose is to become a doctor. Well, when you become a doctor, then you realize, was this it? It's not giving me the meaning I thought it would. And so that's absolutely.
I had this conversation with a doctor.
Oh wow!
There was a doctor who's like, I don't know if my real meaning. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You just told me three stories of lives you saved this week, and still felt that anxiety. And I think that was the break for me. I'm like, no, like you're doing it. It's right here. It's beautiful.
Well, that goes to your comment of doing versus being.
Yeah.
So he was doing it, but was he being in the moment? And was he aware of the impact he was really having?
Yeah.
But even then, there's an internal sense, and I was picking that up from you, Suzanne, earlier as we began, was this internal sense that there's something else. So there's two things I think about. One, it's the inability to be present in the moment. And we could do that with the thing, if there is a thing that is ours to do in this world. We could ruin it by not being present to it and then still feel this longing and this chase for something else. Mm. On the other hand, we could be doing things like, you know, I went to school, became a doctor, or I went to school, became a lawyer, and I'd be, you know, and thought that that was the thing for me and discover, man, it's not really mine. And I've had that many times over the course of my life. Like, yeah, this isn't really, why did I chase this thing? And it's not really me. And by the way, the witness of a lot of other people around me is in agreement with that. This isn't really you. So
I know you want to be good at this. I think that's the other thing that tipped me off too, is like, you know, working in the music world and so many different people who wanted to be like, I really want to be this. And I'm like, oh, but you're terrible.
Right.
So this is not your purpose, but the desire, because this is what would feel meaningful. But I'm like, it wouldn't feel that way to you.
Well, right. Either that or it's like, so if you really want to perform music and your ability or your talent naturally isn't good enough to be something that impacts lots of people, but you still love it, that's okay. Love it and enjoy
it.
And enjoy for what it is rather than, but I want people to love it.
Yes.
Well, people may never love the thing that you're doing, but do you love it? Do you get something out of it? And if you do, then why would you give up on it? Why wouldn't you do it? You know, I'm teaching this to my son all the time. Like, but do you like this? He's always asking me, Dad, do you like this video? Do you like this video? I'm like, no. I mean, it's not designed for my age.
It's like, not the target market.
Definitely not the target.
this particular.
And it's got to put it back to him. Do you like it? Yeah, that's all that matters.
Right.
That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. Dad may not like it, but that doesn't mean anything. Do you like it? That's what matters. And I can celebrate that. So I keep reminding him that because I want him to recognize the things that he loves and he needs to tune into that increasingly. So I think that's that. But then there's the other piece of it that you were talking about, which is a longing to do something that I think can come from. Maybe I'm not quite living from the truth of who I am. Mm. Maybe I've adapted some values, some cultural values. Maybe I've thought that I was supposed to do this or that. But what do I love? What is it that's more me, genuinely? And I think we sometimes are afraid, and I've had this conversation so many times with clients. You know when you're getting close to the thing that is really yours, because when you start to think about it and you start to think about actually putting it out into the world, it terrifies you. Because when you get to that place, that's your full self. And you put yourself out there, your contribution, the truth of who you are, it can be met with rejection. And that hurts like crazy.
Yeah.
So that's oftentimes the thing that terrifies us from being fully us. And so we can grab purposes that are out there, someone else's purpose, and get lost in those things.
Mm-hmm. So there's an album I'm going to put out this year that will not have nearly the reach of a lot of other things I've done. There's a book of poetry that I'm going to put out that will reach mostly no one, but it's meaningful to me. I needed to do it. It was part of me finding my larger voice. It's part of the meaning machine, but I'm not suddenly going to be a poet that shows up and does poetry readings and stuff like that. Like, it serves a specific purpose that is part of all of it. And I think we do want really meaningful lives. We do want really impactful lives. But it's not the one thing.
Yeah.
It's this, which is what makes me really excited. Because then I'm like, this, right now, I'm doing it.
That's like, the journey.
Every single moment, I'm doing it. When I'm like playing tag at the house, like running around the bed, you know, with beer yesterday, I'm doing it. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
It's this.
Yeah.
That's it.
I've been saying, love what you do, do what you love. Love what you do, do what you love.
With people you... like
with people you like.
I'm going to add that component.
You know, I like that more and more these days.
Yes.
So true.
So true. What are you thinking now?
Oh my gosh, so much is going through my mind. Yeah. I mean, and it could also be the season of my life where, you know, the people around me have a lot of needs, which is not a bad thing. And the ones I'm thinking of happen to be my kids.
Yes,
and
they're very young.
Yep, young very kids, young. So. And they have their own degree of special needs in the medical arena. And so any waking minute that I have, I feel like it goes towards like researching what their needs are or figuring out, you know, stuff for clients. Mm. And so it's not that I don't have hobbies or I don't do things that provide meaning outside of caring for the family, you know, doing business, but this is not a season in my life where they're at the forefront. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if I'm looking for purpose in my work, because then when I put energy into my work, it can also fill the meaning bucket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the doing things for me sake isn't showing up right now. And I say this and it's not that bad. Meaning like I come last a lot of times right now. And I'm making that choice. And that's probably a two or our mom or I don't even know. Yeah. But this idea of like reading a book for pleasure is a foreign concept to me right now. But I know it's a season. And so I wonder though if I am putting so much pressure on the work that I do to fill that meaning box, I don't know. I'm working through this out loud. But it would be a heck of a lot easier in my life if one thing could check two boxes.
So does an act of self-care feel meaningful?
Not to me. And I think it's because I'm others referencing. Like silly examples, any number of days I could go and walk the lake by my house. And I could do it by myself. And I don't do it. If someone calls me and says, want to walk the lake? Absolutely. Same activity, different response, because the first one feels selfish and the second one feels with and for someone else.
It feels selfish.
And it could be because there are other ways I could be spending that time.
Gotcha.
Just because the list feels very long right now.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's uncommon. I think everybody's got a long list these days. So I'm fascinated by this idea, you know, purpose is maybe measurable externally. And meaning is made internally.
We did an episode about this. We talked about those who are more externally referenced, you know, the how do you see me? And I said a lot of times they swing from how do you see me externally and they swing into like, well, what's meaningful for me internally? And I said it's not swinging from one to the other, which is what a lot of them feel like they need to do. Like I need to really just get in touch with my own needs a lot more. But it's the integration of both. External meaning will always be a part of the picture. And it has to be more kind of include that internal meaning as well. Where for me, like if I write a song and I like it, I don't really care that much what other if anyone yeah. else likes it. But when they do, and I actually do get to include that other piece, there's something really healthy about sort of the integration of the external meaning that I brought meaning to you, and I felt internal meaning as well. And I'm all for that. My only resistance is when people think it only takes one form and I have to figure out what that one thing is. Everything else I'm totally on board with.
Yeah, well, and the pressure that you mentioned of layering onto it, the need for it to fulfill financial obligations.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's where it goes off the rails for me. I could absolutely find something that both is meaningful internally and purpose-driven externally.
Yeah.
But then if I've got to also provide financially, which I do,
yeah.
that puts a tremendous amount of pressure on it, which I think influences how I define meaning or how much impact it's really got to have.
Yeah. Well, because even as our organization, we do certain things because it's going to be, it's financially stabilizing to the organization to do certain things. And we bring as much meaning to it as possible. And there's other stuff that feels like way more meaning that pays less, but it's part of it too. But I sort of look at it as the two wings of the bird. Like it allows the whole thing, the mechanism to fly is because it has these integrated things. And some things are more of this and some things are that. But like I said, my purpose is going to show up no matter what I'm doing. So it can show up in all of those arenas and it's all beautiful.
Yeah.
I think that is where I start if I ask that question, like, maybe it's all beautiful. The day that you get to walk the lake and the day you can't because you're handling all this stuff.
Right.
The day that I actually have time to play and the couple weeks that went by where I was so busy that my calluses were gone and I pick up the guitar and it hurts for the first time in years. Like, maybe all of it belongs and all of it is part of this magical, mystical thing that whatever the hell we're doing, like maybe it is.
Yeah, there's a movement towards making every present moment count, that we, not from a driven place, but a place of openness and acceptance that this is where I am right now. I don't seek to take more from this moment than what it has to offer me. And at the same time, I am courageous enough to move towards the thing that scares the heck out of me that is mine to put out into the world.
That's good.
And I think if we live from both places, we love what we do, but then we ever move towards the things that we love and the people we love. And we're in that place of both because one rejection, like, I don't want to do anything I don't like doing, well, then you're going to always be chasing something. Or, you know, I'm only going to just be present to everything right here. Well, then you're not going to put yourself out there in a way to make a contribution to the world
right.
where you might be rejected. You might face pain. So I think both are important. But I also wanted to reflect, like, I think, Suzanne, where you are, and there's a recognition, there's a gender piece of this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And totally. For us to not notice that or to not mention that, we notice it, but to actually acknowledge it and say something is important.
Yeah.
Because that's a real factor.
Yeah.
I talk to a lot of women in leadership, and this is a constant issue for a lot of them. And so I acknowledge that, and I recognize that. That's
and I appreciate
also a play
that.
In that.
And sometimes it feels like we're not supposed to mention the gender differences.
Yeah.
Because we almost want to not have them be there, but to yeah. not recognize them, I think, diminishes
yeah,
what's totally. Actually happening. So I appreciate your mentioning and reflecting that you're hearing it from other women, too.
Yeah. Because there's always the cultural overlay piece. And it's like, here, I'm going to stack this on top of everything this else is already stacked on top
yeah.
of you. And so when I initially had this reaction to this idea is because this amazing woman was sharing this with me. And I'm like, you already are doing so amazing. Like, this is not something you have to carry as well. Because I think that's the whole message to women specifically so much is like, well, you have to carry all of this. All of this responsibility and all of these different things. And you have to navigate all of these different things. And you have to do it all. And you have to look amazing doing it. And you have to, like, this endless, like, list.
Yeah.
But so much of, I think, that will change when women start being like, bullshit.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. So
yeah.
We also need men to advocate, like, you don't have to do all that, or that's not what's expected of you.
Yeah.
So, again, we have blind spots because these are all the messages we've always received.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if there's anything that I would want specifically women to hear in this moment is like the learning to find meaning in self-care, like having something that is Sabbath-y, so which is like a cathedral in time. There's this time that you have that you build this cathedral in and you say, this is my like sacred space and it is part of the meaning-making machine for me. And it feeds so much of everything else.
Yeah.
No matter kind of how that looks, because it's going to look totally different for you.
Mm. This is great. More journaling for me.
Mm.
Meaning
there's no have
versus
to. There's
purpose.
No, there's no have
there's
to.
No must.
No, it's fascinating. I mean, just this recognition that I didn't see a difference and I want to continue to explore what is the difference between purpose and meaning and the being versus doing. And
But we've also seen your heart wake up at times too, where it has seemed very much like whatever you're doing now with the Art of Growth feels very true to who you are.
Yes.
At a deeper level.
Yes.
And since starting with us back in, was it
February?
Yeah.
That was a big shift for you where you began to move towards your heart in that sense.
Yes.
So that's been a huge positive, even though now, while we're doing this, there's a whole lot of stuff that isn't as fun that we have to do in terms of building this machine.
Yes, yeah.
But I just also want to acknowledge it, that you are seeing those things happen in you and you're moving towards it courageously. And you always have, even leaving the executive world you were in, the being a high executive and, you know, doing amazing things or whatever you were doing. But you left that and came into your company that you started, that was a step towards more of the truth of who you were.
Yes.
And it matched more with your values.
Right. And I left there saying, if I stay, I know exactly what my life will look like, at least for the next year. And if I leave, I have no idea.
Mm.
And that excitement is what eventually led me to make the decision that I made, to see what else is out there and to see what has been missing. And so the purpose piece of it absolutely played in. Some of the reasons I left were around greater fulfillment, greater flexibility.
Mm. And any true meaning necessitates an element of mystery where I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
What could this look like?
Yeah.
Because that's what prompts the curiosity. Ooh, what could be?
Yeah.
What could this look like?
Mm.
None of us know.
Right.
None of us could have known what's happening now. 6-7 months ago.
Oh my gosh. That's a whole other episode.
It feels like a whole other world.
It really does.
We've kind of like lived 5 years together in the last year. Like is what kind of like the universe feels like. But I think that's what I just kind of come back to. It's like we need mystery, which this myth of like, oh, you just have to figure out your purpose. Well, then that arrival, like well, we need the mystery too.
So then what's the opposite? Well, maybe we don't need it to be that binary.
Yeah.
But what's an alternative to the messaging we've received, which is, you know, go find your purpose and live it.
That I think singular. It's loving what you do right now.
Yeah.
Choosing to love it. And that's been a work on my end that has taken me years. And I still am far from even being close to where I'd like to be. But loving what it is that I do right now while still knowing and looking towards the thing that I know is next for me. Not grandiosity in the future.
Mm. Yeah.
What is next for me that requires more courage from me, that scares me because I'm putting more of my truth, myself out there, and my art, my beauty, the thing that I love, it's coming from a better place. So doing that, there's a lot of hard work to it. It's not like living your dream is this thing that is magical and like, it's just an easy peasy ride. And
there is definitely that promise is that
there is.
That when you live your purpose, it'll be easy.
Yeah, that's like if that. You do what you're supposed to do, you'll never work a day in your life. Like maybe that was your experience.
Right.
That's not my experience.
No.
I love what I do, but I've never worked so hard either.
I think that's it. Well, not it, but I think that's a piece of it for me is this promise of ease.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The promise of ease.
There's no ease, but I think what ultimately comes down to me is this. I'm going to leave this conversation today, and I'm going to be so happy that I spent my time doing this.
Yeah.
And so when I have that internal yes that says, yeah, more of that. Mm. And then I do other things, and I go, less of that.
Yes.
And I think if I'm on the track of just doing that,
yeah,
everything else is kind of like whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, with this person, less of that. With this other person, yeah, more of that.
Yeah.
With this activity I spent my time on, less of that. With this thing I wanted, more. I want to do more of that.
Yeah. So it feels more incremental to me when I hear you say that. Like just take it one step at a time.
It is incremental. And it's like pausing to enjoy the moment. Like we were all on this call like with that training this week and we all got off and we're like,
that was
yay,
it. That was
that
amazing.
Was great.
That really was amazing, by the way.
And it was amazing.
Yeah,
like
it was.
we were in our element, we were doing our thing, we were providing something valuable. Like we were like it ticked on so many boxes that so many people never get to tick.
Yeah.
But even if it hadn't been, because we've had those that didn't go that great.
Oh, yeah?
That's
true.
A week earlier.
Well, by
we're
our
going,
estimation,
oh,
right?
By
we
our
just,
estimation.
Right,
and
right,
we walked away going, well, it wasn't that great.
Was
but
that
the
well,
experience?
Was it? I hope it was okay.
Right. Like,
but yeah, our experience together, though.
Yeah.
We said, but was it still worth it doing this together?
Yeah.
And I walked away thinking that I just enjoyed doing this with
the
people that I love doing things with. And that's it.
Yeah, it was. It was great. I know leading up to it, there was stress, but stress for a good reason because it meant we prepared and we talked about things and maybe that's a little bit of the, is it supposed to be this stressful? But yeah, stress is energy.
Well, that's the war of art, right?
It,
like, you know, this is that
Stephen
book. Stephen Pressfield.
Yeah.
Phenomenal book. Everybody should, you know, who wants to do anything great in the world should read that book. Yeah. The war of art.
Oh, great.
It's
I'm
like,
not reading for pleasure
it is
right now,
hard.
I'll add it to my list.
No, it's more of a you'll need
you
it.
You don't want to read that
it.
To go to bed. It's not a pleasure reading thing.
Okay, got it.
It's
but
a morning reading.
It is fantastic. But the war of art is that idea. Like, yes, we did a lot of hard work leading up to some of the events that we've pulled off together. Hard, grinding. And there are times where we're saying, boy, I would love to have someone else do this. Or, you know, but we're grinding it out, doing the work. That's also part of it. It's not like the absence of any hard work is involved in doing the thing that is yours to do.
Yeah.
But it's the war of art. And when you work through it, what you realize is as you're loving the present moment and engaging in it as hard as it is, and then when you get to the event and you pull off the event and we do it together, and sometimes it goes amazingly well, and we come out of there going, wow, this was awesome. And other times, not so hot, but we still enjoyed what it was that we did.
We got a lot of meaning out of
doing
that one
what
too.
We love.
Yeah. Well, and that also comes down to that call that we're talking about that we got off of that was just so incredible. I didn't need anybody else to tell me that was incredible. I just knew it. I felt it. I was like, this was great. And if we happen to get, you know, kudos for it, then even better. But there have been times in my life where I busted for, you know, something, and then I waited and waited for other people to validate that it was good. Mm. And it never came. Because I didn't even think it was good. So the difference between the work and the hustle. You know, the other one, I was hustling for people to tell me I was doing a good job, versus this work feels way more aligned, in my mind, way more meaningful and purposeful, because I don't know the difference between the words.
Yeah.
And I didn't need anybody else to tell me.
Yeah. That is huge.
Yeah.
That is absolutely huge. That's where you get to a place, and it doesn't matter what type, but when you get to a place where you're putting your art out there, your work out there, your contribution, and you liked it, you enjoyed it so much, and then you get the feedback that, hey, we liked it too.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Like, that's icing.
Yeah.
Totally.
But I so loved what I did anyways.
Right.
And that's a great place to work from.
So that to me is what I'm looking for, is this internal validation that I'm doing and being what I'm intended.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that's a good thing. But it's always the present. It's never like the promise of it in the future. That's not where the life of it is. It's in this. It's like in this now.
Yeah.
That's right. And I think that's what's settling about it. And I think that's calming. And if anything, I want to set people free from it. Like, what's your purpose? What are you doing today? It's that. So thank you so much for listening. And we are super thankful that so many more of you have reached out this year and met with us one-on-one, become clients of ours throughout 2020. And it's just been an incredible experience. And we are so thankful for all of you. If you need some support during the holiday season, please reach out to us via our website. You can also follow us on Instagram at Art of Growth or on Facebook as Enneagram Panels. If you aren't currently getting our newsletter, which includes some coaching tips and upcoming events, webinars, group coaching, that kind of thing, if you go to www.theartofgrowth.org, you can sign up for it there. So now, my friends, may you go in your purpose and know that your purpose is today. The person you are, the task right in front of you, the people you see today. They are all the most important thing at this moment. But may you lean in with hope towards the ever-shifting landscape of where you want to go, that there is more of a fullness, more of a completeness, where who you are matches every other part of your life. And may you do this exploration with joy and wonder. Have a great week.